attention. Or as you miss something, you will. Thank you, Michael, for bringing us some older songs. Other songs today I feel like my generation, I don't know. I mean, at that time, around maybe 10 years ago, I don't know how long those songs are. 20, that's like, you know, time flies. And I feel so like my generation. And I still remember when I was here 15 years ago, before I went back to Hong Kong to work for a while and came back after 10 years. At those times, I was like sitting here, like just like you. Maybe I was even younger than some of you at that time. And I know nothing about like the church organization, like the XCOM. Because today's title, the sermon title is, "Why Do We Have XCOM?" I mean, you don't usually have this kind of sermon title. I feel weird even when I put it up, but it is. That's the thing. And I know nothing about that. So let's explore a little bit today on why having that in a church. So maybe first we go back to the scripture. It's like, what was the problem in those days? They have a problem. They have too many disciples. They said the number of disciples was increasing. Some of them were not provided with enough food. I guess our church haven't got too many disciples yet, but the number of disciples is increasing. I mean, our numbers are increasing, and in an hour's time, you see people coming in, and then the whole place is filled with people. And so talking about resources, we do have the same problem from time to time. If you know, some of you may know that we are considering a new building at the back of the church, and because we don't have enough space on Sunday. We want to do things together, and we won't be able to do that. We actually have similar problem in the past. When I was there 20 years ago, I remember we had Sunday school in the kitchen. I mean, that means we are using every single space available. We have a class in the kitchen as well. This year you have Polycom Net School, and you have Caleb's Home for Sunday school. But we didn't have this problem for a long time. It's a blessing to have more people. But as the size of the community grows, some people's needs may be overlooked. It's great today. I saw some of new faces. I mean, some of you may be the people come to pick you up in the morning. And I mean, those are some of our needs. I mean, sometimes we live far apart and we don't have a car. We need someone to pick us up. In the past few Sunday, I was picking up a sister from our church to the Cantonese service. The reason is she hasn't been able to come to the service for the past month because she doesn't know how to drive. And those are the things that I overlook for a long time. And then we pick up the thing and we do that so that she can come to the church to worship. Today, I won't be able to pick her up, so a brother actually is going to pick her up today. So it's great. For the early church, that was the first time they have such a problem. Too many people, somebody's needs is being overlooked. I guess when Jesus was still with them, no one was overlooked. Whoever need bread or fish, you can imagine, they will be satisfied. And to be honest, the regular group at that time, make a guess, those people who follow Jesus around from town to town, those regular follower, how many were there at that time? Is it 10 of them or like certainly 12, hundreds or thousands? But this number, compared with the numbers they have after the Pentecost, after that, a few thousand people believe in Jesus, they have a lot bigger group to take care. So now they had a problem and they call an AGM. The whole crowd of people, the disciple got together. And then the 12 stood at the front and the crowd listened to them. I mean, if you haven't read the scripture, what would you expect the disciples to say? Would they say, sorry, we haven't taken care of the business as usual. We're going to deploy a new registration system for those people who have any needs. They can go onto the Google form and fill in the form, and we will process every one of them in the order of registration. No, they didn't say that. They said it would not be right for them to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on table. I mean, I'm not sure. I mean, if during the AGM, and if I say that, we miss something, and I say, well, it's basically saying it's not my task. Well, they're not saying that it's not important. It's important to take care of the widows, no matter if it's Hellenists or Hebrews. But it won't be right for the 12 to take care of that. Why? Why don't they take care of the important things? Jesus certainly take care of the widows. Were the 12 apostles think that they are more important than Jesus, as they don't want to wait on tables? After all, the 12 were taking care of all the daily needs. Why couldn't they serve each other? I probably won't. If we don't have Jonathan, who's sitting at the back, I probably won't speak on this. Obviously, I mean, from the past weeks, I mean, if you have been here for a few Sundays, I mean, when he was preaching, obviously he's a gifted preacher. I'm not saying that he's not good enough now, but it would be nice if he can continue to pay attention to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. The problem is he is also gifted in many other areas. And from time to time we see him serving us on the IT stuff, on this and that, because he can do a lot of things. It's great. I mean, it's a great thing. Last Saturday, he sent his sermon script to me around noontime. It's a practice that we do before he graduates. He usually sends his sermon script to me. He sent it to me on Saturday noontime. And I sent an email and I asked why he finished that so early. You know, apart from the first few Sundays that he preached, that those times that we would normally have some time to, it's a long time ago, seems to be. But these days, I normally can only skim through the script because it's like, it's so close to Sunday that I'm not there to make any changes. I'm not saying that's needed to make any changes, but it's too late for any suggestion, I would say. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with those scriptures, but should we spend more time, as pastors, should we spend more time to discuss that? If the scripture is ready, should we have some time to pray for that, so that we pray for you guys, people, our congregation, that they can actually hear what God wants to teach them? That's why this line, the 12 said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God. I have a seminary teacher who usually preaches in different churches regularly. And he shared that he usually have the title and the outline of the sermon laid out, prepared 3 months before the actual thing happened. 3 months. It's not that he needs 3 months to make sure he get everything right. But he pay attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word of God. How should we make sure our pastor, that they can pay enough attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word of God? To be honest, it's the same for you, I guess. Prayer is usually the first thing we forget when we have a busy schedule. Martin Luther once said, "I'm so busy now, and if I did not spend 3 hours each day in prayer, I could not get through the day." Have you done that before? Like, if you have a busy schedule, so you spend 3 hours in the morning, early in the morning, and pray for that so that you can get through that day? Who have that experience? None of us. If you really have, I really want you to share with us. Not everyone is Martin Luther. And I guess I haven't met any. How can we help our pastors? Should we keep quoting the Martin Luther line to them, say, oh, I mean, then give them more tasks so then, and now you wake up earlier, you do the prayer first, and then you can get through the day like, just like Martin Luther. No, we should share the burden. We should take care of their responsibilities. The 12 said, we will turn this responsibility over to them and we'll give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. Taking care of the widows, the orphans, along with many other things, the responsibility of the church as a whole. I mean, there's a lot of things to be done. And we cannot solely rely on the pastor to deliver. I'm not saying that you're doing that. From the scripture, we know that we need to share the burden. That's why we have XCOM. That's why we have a leadership team. That's why we have ministry leaders. That's why we have an organization. We set up working groups to take care of things, take care of many tasks that a church should do. These days, most churches with a bit of size would have a clear organization structure. But many people, they doesn't like organized churches. It makes sense in a way, because if you operate, a church operating as a company, have a clear structure, it doesn't like a family. It doesn't sound like a family. And it's sometimes because of that, we make a lot of mistakes. Church is a family, not a company. In the past, it's easier because we used to have larger household. We have more experience. Not sure whether you have heard from your parents or your grandparents before, but I heard from my aunties in Hong Kong about how they distribute the house chore in the old days. My eldest auntie, she claimed that the reason that she cannot cook is because from the young age, she need to go out and work and earn money. So she have no time to practice how to cook. And I think my mom is the second one, also went to work. And then some of my mom's younger sister, they take care of the house chores, like cooking, washing clothes. And then the youngest one have more chance to study and go to the university. So there's a household. I mean, if the money is the key for survival, you won't ask the one who can earn money to wash clothes or do the dishes. Let's think about church. Is prayer important? Is the word of God important? If prayer and the word of God are the key of survival of the church, then you won't burden those people with such gifts. You won't burden those people, or the pastors, with IT stuff. I'm not saying that IT stuff is not important. I'm not saying that J-Town is not good at IT. Certainly not. I'm only saying that if God calls, especially because Jonathan and I and Abby, the pastors to be the pastor and give us a gift to serve as a pastor, we better give the church IT mentor to someone else who have IT gifts to serve with that gift. So an organized church, what we should do is like every one of us can serve with what we are called to, can serve with what God have given us, those gifts. It's not like what is more important. I mean, all the things that we work on, it should be important. These few days, we all read a lot from the Queen. I mean, the quote. Once the Queen said, "I cannot lead you into battle. I do not give you laws or administer justice, but I can do something else." The Queen said, "I can give you my heart and my devotion to these old islands and to all the people of our Brotherhood of Nations." Maybe for us, we can change it to, maybe we cannot preach in front of hundreds. Maybe we do not know how to explain the Bible in a lively way, but I can do something else. Every one of us can give our hearts, our devotion to things that God calls you to do. That's why the 12 apostles, they told the church to choose 7 men from among them to take charge of what needs to be done in that matter. And at that time, the whole church was pleased with what they said, and they chose 7 of them to take care of the distribution of food. I mean, if we need to do that here, who would be the one? Who would you send? Will you choose somebody who is good at cooking or catering? Who would you choose to lead the breakfast team? Someone who can actually do breakfast, right? But the early church chose seven people who were full of the Spirit and wisdom, full of faith and full of grace and power. They didn't choose a chef. Well, I mean, a chef may not serve the widows. We need someone full of grace to serve. The description that I just said is a description of Stephen the martyr. The early church chose seven people who are as qualified to be the pastor, just like the 12, to take care of the responsibility of distribution of food. They have the same quality as the 12. Right. Maybe that's why we have yet to have any ex-com candidate this year. The seven deacons have big shoes to fill. It's not easy. I mean, for those people, I mean, those brother and sister who have received invitation to become an ex-com candidate for the coming term, don't worry, I'm not trying to convince you to accept what you have turned down. No. I believe you have prayed in front of God, and this year is not the year. Not yet, maybe. But I want you to know why we are inviting people to take up the ex-com role. I want you to know why you should desire this role. Maybe you don't. Who desire to be an ex-com? Steven is laughing, right? I mean, yeah, it's like a joke, right? Should that be? Maybe that's why we're preaching on this passage. You should desire this role if you're in the church. You should prepare yourself so that in the future you can fill this role. This ex-com is not just we need someone to do those tasks nobody wants to do. So we need to sacrifice someone to be ex-com. No. The deacons, the ex-com, the leaders, they are brothers and sisters who are full of wisdom, faith, and grace. They should be. To serve every needs in the church. And then your pastors will be released to focus on prayer and the ministry of the Word of God. And you look at the result. The last paragraph, so the Word of God spread, so the Word of God increased. And the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly. A large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Do you want to see that? Is that why we are here? What I want to say is, don't let Jonathan wait on tables. Certainly, he will continue to serve on different needs, but don't let him. Help him to pay attention to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. Be the one who shares the same vision to see the Word of God spread, to see the disciple increase, so that you would be the deacons to take care of the distribution of food or other things, take care of anything else that needs to be taken care of. This day certainly is not just the distribution of food. As a full-time pastor, as church, and I mean, a full-time pastor who actually sits in the office of the church, you will need to take care of every needs of the church unless someone is sharing the burden. We are blessed to have Cherry, our administrator, who does way more than she should. But you can imagine that. I mean, if Cherry is lifting a big box of things from the office to somewhere, would I just sit there and do nothing? I would just stand up and then I would carry the thing with her and do other things. The pastor won't be able to do the things that we should be doing. So, please, be the deacons, the ex-com, the leaders, the helpers, so that the pastor can pay attention to the things that they should be paying, especially prayer and the ministry of the Word of God. Well, certainly, it doesn't mean that the deacons or other disciples, they don't need to pray. So what's the meaning of paying attention to prayer?
I'm not sure what your feeling is, but when we said God speak through the preacher on Sunday, it's not necessarily an unnatural process. Like the Holy Spirit say something in my ear and then I tell you that. It's not like that. Unless one spend time with God in prayer, what we speak on Sunday would just be something I want to say, and it would just be something that you want to hear. I would just say something that you want to hear, and then you will be happy. You won't be falling asleep. But no. I hope the only reason that you are here, you want to listen to what God wants to say through the pastor, through his or her prayer, that God told her, him or her, that's something you need to listen. That I hope that you respect and you expect God speak through the speaker every Sunday. Or else you better listen to this a lot more, better like TED Talk or podcast. I listen to many of those. I mean, many of those are a lot better than what you have here. I mean, a lot you have here today, this morning. But it's different. I mean, I cannot just take the recording of that and play it here. I mean, you will enjoy it. We will all enjoy it because I don't need to prepare anymore. I'll just take a clip. But it's different. I mean, God wants us, want the local church to hear from the local pastor to the local congregation at a particular time for a particular thing. There's something that God wants to tell you then. That's why you have local church. But if you don't expect God speaking to you, that would just be a theory. If the pastor didn't pay attention to prayer, which go hand in hand with the ministry of Word of God, then all these will just be a theory. And then you should think about why you're here, listen to someone who may not be speaking as well as other speakers in other places. So next time, when you feel that the preacher hasn't prepared on what they have preached, think about like why and consider giving a helping hand. Help them out if you can share the responsibility of, I mean, the chores that they have been spending time during the week to do. I'm going to stop. But before I stop, I would like to ask, why would Stephen, the mother, who signed up to help the distribution of food, I mean, if we continue to read that, why suddenly he started to teach, he started to preach, he started performing signs? If you read through Acts, and he have a long preaching, and it sounds like a part. He's doing the work of the work of a pastor more than a deacon. And then it's not a trap. God didn't trap Stephen to do that. But as I said, those people who are taking care of the distribution of food, they are as qualified as the 12. And when you're willing to serve the Lord, our master would use you in different ways. And look at Stephen. He's a man full of God's grace and power, performed great wonders and signs among people. And when people accused him before he started to speak, his face, in Acts 6, he said his face was like the face of an angel. He didn't tremble, but he was humble and confident. Christ Jesus illuminated him inside. And he have a long speech, and after that, he looked steadily up into heaven. He saw the glory of God. And Jesus standing at God's right hand. That's where we should look at when we serve our Lord. And when people stoned Stephen, he cried out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." It's just like, when you hear that, when you read that, Stephen is just acting, is just living like Jesus. And that is one of the seven deacons. The best of the best. God demands the best to serve him. To be, not just to be pastor, to be ex-com, to be the leaders. And we should try our best to offer the best to God. We should prepare ourselves. So, there's only one thing I encourage you to prepare yourself to serve the Lord and be a man or woman full of spirit, full of wisdom, full of grace, full of power, full of faith. prepare yourself so that next year, then we will have a few more deacons. That's all. We'll have some time to reflect. Do we do a song before that? I would like to you to reflect on what you heard this morning. So, Gabby, you say.
Hello. Hello. So now's the time for our stay and pray for each month. And I think just reflecting on what Derek has said is sometimes we, personally as well, we feel like there's a lot of things, different priorities or different things stopping us from serving, or maybe we feel inadequate. We don't have the skills to do that. But yeah, I guess I really encourage you guys to know that when you guys are weak, God is strong. He is strength. And you might not have the strength to or skills to do what you've been called to or to serve in a particular area. But God has a lot of power. And when you're weak, he shows even more glory for you when you can't really, you don't have the skills or whatever to serve. So, so we encourage you to have a time of reflection this morning and also to pray for each other's service in terms of motives and how you can help the church. So we'll have a few minutes of quiet reflection, and then maybe in 5 minutes time or so, Mike will play some soft music, and that's the time where you guys will be praying together. So.